Hello, everyone. Today is Wednesday, June the 7th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhidhan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and you guys can always help us support the show by sharing the show online, liking it, leaving us a good 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. But we're going to leave a couple of links in the description so you can help us do just that.
Absolutely. The verse of the day today comes from Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago.
You know, we've been doing a lot of songs on God's faithfulness at Clearview. That's mm-hmm. That's something that I've been seeing more and more and more, just in my personal life, like the faithfulness of God. There's a song that Maverick City does, You Hold It All Together. And so what we do is we actually pair that song with the hymn, Great Is Your Faithfulness. And man, the way those two songs go together just goes to remind you that, like, morning by morning, every single day, there's something new to discover about God. And that's an attribute of his faithfulness. It's not that those things are like two separate things. Because of his faithfulness, there's always something new to discover.
That's right. I love that song, that pairing too, that you guys do, because it reminds us that God is a faithful God. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times when we have difficult times in life or we're stressed out by things, that's all we can see. We just see the difficult moment ahead in front of us.
That's right.
But God is a faithful God, which means that we can trust that he will keep his promises. He will not let us fail. He will not let us fall. He is the same God that we have read about throughout the Bible. He's the same God that we worship today. His faithfulness endures generations.
How did we end up in South Dakota?
We are not
in our studio. I literally woke up this morning and I was like, I was expecting to be in my own bed.
You were not in your own bed.
But I was across the nation. I was like across on the other side.
We're in South Dakota.
We are not coming to you from our typical studio in Henderson, North Carolina. As you can tell by the acoustics in here are probably not great. We're in a garage.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool
garage.
I mean,
it's a man cave. I'm not going to lie. It's
pretty cool. We are on our annual staff retreat with Clearview. That's something we do every year, is we have a week where we get away with the staff and our families, and we pray and plan together and prep for the upcoming year. And it's just such a wonderful time, a wonderful like pause, a wonderful breath mm-hmm. where we can just sort of, you know, just relax, let our guard down. We are constantly on the go. We're constantly, you know, serving and doing things at Clearview. So it's a chance for us as our families to just get away and breathe. And I'm incredibly thankful for opportunities like this that Dr. Shah has created
Amen.
For us
Amen.
And our families. I mean, this is like a once in a lifetime trip.
Oh yeah. And I hate to absolutely undermine everything you just said, but you did say that this trip was a wonderful breath.
Speaking of
wonderful breaths. Getting here was not a wonderful breath. The travel was fine.
It was fine. The travel was fine. No issues with the flight.
Was fine. What happened was this. I said, Ellie, who is my wife, I said, Ellie, you are going to be hungry when we land. All the airport restaurants are going to be closed. Do you want me to get you a flatbread?
Right.
She said, yeah, that would be great. Yeah. So I got myself one too. I said, let me get two pepperoni flatbreads. I didn't realize how humongous they were.
They were big. They were enormous.
Each one was big. So I was like, okay, well, whatever. So we go stand in the line and I'm holding it in the bags mm-hmm. and Elizabeth's like, oh, John, you're leaking. And I'm leaking grease all over like the airport floor. Yeah. So I was like, well, whatever. I'm almost on the plane. I'm just going to deal with it. So when we get on the plane, right? And I open up the flatbread. The reek that filled that entire plane, passengers were like looking around to see what this stench was.
Now, POV, Ryan's perspective. I knew John had the flatbread. I did not know that the flatbread made it onto the plane with us.
Yeah, you thought I ate it like in line at the gate?
Yeah, I thought it was already gone at this point because we weren't standing in line together. So we're sitting on the flight. I'm sitting with Thomas, Dr. Shah's youngest son, and we're sitting there, and this horrific smell overtakes the plane.
We're
not sitting very far away from the restroom.
No.
So Thomas and I looked at each other. We were like,
someone
we haven't even started moving, and someone blew the bathroom up already.
We're still on the runway. We have not taken off.
We were positive that it was the bathroom. And then we're looking around, and Thomas looks at me. He's like, I think it's John's pizza. And we look back, and sure enough, John is just sitting there, happy as a lark,
face.
Like,
I'm eating. It's gross. It's eating this pizza horrible. Grossly. Yeah, and it does not look good. It does not look attractive. It does not look Christian.
I feel like an old stand-up comedian. Like, what's the deal with airline food? What's the deal?
That's what. So I brought it on. So I eat the entire thing, and I know, like, it is stinky. It is greasy. People are upset. People are getting angry. So I'm like, all right, let me just cram it in my mouth as quickly as possible. Gave it to the air hostess. Threw it away.
Yeah.
So then we land in Denver. And I'm like, hey, Ellie, you need to go on ahead and eat because you're not going to be feeling well. You're going to have a headache. You're dehydrated. Go on ahead and get something in your stomach. She goes, I don't want it. I'm like, I carried this thing literally across the sky, across the country.
This stench bomb that flew with us to Denver,
Colorado.
And
then she was like, yeah, people are saying it's stinky. I don't want to eat that and have it on my breath. So I'm like, well, I'm not throwing it away. I paid $16 for this stinky flatbread. So I ate the second one in the airport, in the Denver airport.
And you know what? The stench didn't die down.
So now the Clearview staff is like getting angry because they're like, all right, we already had to smell this on the plane. Now we're in the airport and they're like, you got to throw it away. So I'm like, I can't throw it away. I have to.
I'm committed to it now.
I have to eat it. And I'm not even hungry, but I'm like, I can't take it on the second plane and then people have to suffer through another plane ride. So I'm just cramming it in my mouth in the airport. And at a certain point, like halfway through, I'm like, I can't.
This isn't worth it at this point.
It's not even worth it. It doesn't taste great. Everybody's angry that I'm eating this stinky pizza. And then Ellie's just sitting over there happy. But now she's going to get up in the air and not feel good because she hasn't eaten all day. Yeah, I'm hungry.
Anyway, so if you get to the airport and you're hungry, don't order the flatbread.
Don't order pepperoni flatbread. I'm not going to shout out the name of the restaurant. I'm not going to put them on blast. But it is in the RDU airport. And it tasted good when it was hot, but it was stinky. Oh, my goodness.
Horrendous.
People were ready to throw me off the aircraft.
I was one of them. Anyway, we're going to grab Dr. Sean in just a second. We've got an exciting episode planned for you all the way from South Dakota today. We're excited to share it with you. But if you have any questions in the meantime, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey there, listeners. I'm John Galantis.
And I'm Ellie Galantis.
And we just want to take a quick second and talk to you about Dr. Shah's and Nicole's book, 30 Days to a New Beginning, daily devotions to help you move forward.
You know, this is actually the second book in the 30 Days series. And the whole point of this devotional is to help us get unstuck from the ruts of life.
You know, when it comes to running the race of life, it matters how you start. But a bad start doesn't ultimately determine how you finish the race. You can have a good finish even with a bad start. And that's where this book comes in.
No matter who you are or where you are in life, you're going to get stuck. Instead of going out and buying some gadget or some planner, like I know I've done several times.
I know that's right.
30 Days encourages you to find your fresh start in God's Word.
Life doesn't have a reset button, but our God is a God who does new things. His mercies are new every day, which means every day is a new chance for you to start over.
You can grab 30 Days to a New Beginning on Amazon.com. We're going to leave a link in the description box below, and if you already have the book, let us know what you think about it.
That's right. Send us a text, 252-582-5028. Share what God has done in your life through this devotional. Hey, maybe we'll even read your story on the air. Ellie, you ready to get back to the show?
Let's do it.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. Today is your first time ever tuning in to the Clearview Today Show. We want to welcome you, let you know exactly who's talking to you today. Dr. Abadan Shah is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all of his work on his website. That's abadanshah.com. And we are coming at you live from our studio right in North Carolina.
No, we are not. Mm-hmm. That is not true.
I'm sorry?
I was going to say, Dr. Shah, welcome to not the studio today.
That's right.
We talked about this a little bit in the intro, but do you want to tell everybody kind of where
sure.
we are, what we're doing?
We are on our staff retreat mm-hmm. in Deadwood, South Dakota.
That's right.
Very cool.
Now, I love the Old West. People who know me know how much I love the Old West. And so I have all these places. They're like my bucket list of places. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like I've been to Tombstone. I've been to Dodge City. I've been to, Kansas, and I've been to Cowtowns in Colorado. I've been to Doc Holliday's tomb, Buffalo Bills. I mean, I've been all there, and I really wanted to go to Deadwood, South Dakota, because Wild Bill Hickok was finally shot here.
I want,
which is not a good thing to say. Yeah.
Finally,
it's still a piece. It's American history.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to tell them about the reenactments? Because like yesterday, yeah.
I was gonna say we witnessed that.
We actually walked around historic Deadwood.
That's right, we did. Downtown. I mean, it's the place where he was shot in the back. Mm-hmm. You know, he always sat with his back to the wall until that one time. At least that's what story goes, where he didn't do that and who was it? Jack McCall, right? Jack McCall, this evil, conniving fellow.
This low-down mangy doll.
Shot him in the back out of just stupidity.
Just sheer impulse. Just
meanness.
It was funny because we were in historic Deadwood and we were walking around and we were like, we want to go see the reenactment. I was like, that's going to be awesome. So these dudes come out and just like full-on Wild West cosplay and they are in the street. And they're doing this thing, and they bring out this, like, he tells us at the beginning, he's like, now there will be one gunshot. This is a real, was it a rifle or a revolver? I think he had a pistol, didn't he?
Yeah, he had
the pistol. And I could not begin to prepare for how loud it was. It was like an antique, real life
thing. Yeah, it was loud.
I mean, they loaded it with blanks, of course, but still, it was, that thing was for real.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you can see David was holding the
his phone when he filmed
camera,
it.
And you can see it going.
Here, I'm gonna play the video right here so you can see it. Nicholas, you can put the video in later.
You try to prepare yourself. Like, I knew it was coming. I saw him pulling. I was like, okay, all right, prep yourself. It's going to be a loud noise. And you feel like you're ready, and then you hear it.
You just jump right in the video.
It's involuntary.
Yeah.
In fact, we went to the storytelling of Wild Bill Hickok. One of the actors actually does the whole thing. I mean, he takes 20 minutes just describing who he was and how they made him into something way more than he really was. But then he was like, okay, fine, I'll live this character now.
Right, right.
And he did it. And but then things happened. He kind of accidentally shot his own deputy.
That was not
a good thing.
You don't
want to
have that reputation.
It's just not a good
look.
That's not good. It's just not a good look.
It was like he was in the bar somewhere, or saloon or whatever, playing cards, and he hears this sound, people messing around and all that. He goes out there and he sees this guy who's causing trouble, and the guy, like, you know, is like, I'm shooting at you right now.
Uh-huh.
And so he shoots, but he misses, I think, something like that. And Wild Bill Hickok just pulls back and he kills him.
Oh, no.
Behind him in the alley, he hears his name. So he turns around and fires. But it was his own deputy who was coming to back him up, I guess.
Oh, no.
But, oh, sorry.
That's crazy.
Hate that for you.
But it really went downhill for him, because from there on he could not. He was not the same.
Yeah,
Because he just felt so bad for what happened.
It was really fun for me to like watch the reenactment, watch everything happening, and then we went to eat lunch, and then you guys went and saw the reenactment of the actual shooting in the saloon.
Yeah, in the saloon. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we went to.
We saw the dead man's hand, right?
Oh yeah, David got the picture of that hand.
Which is
it's two aces, and I believe it's two eights.
That's right.
Yeah. There should be a fifth card, right, in poker? I believe there should be a fifth, but I know he had two aces and two eights. That's interesting. I wonder how that worked. Maybe they weren't playing five card stud. I don't know. David got that picture, and you can see it right here in the video. That was really cool to see. I remember David went in. He was like, I just want to see. We were like, oh, we're about to go. He's like, I just got to go see. And he rushes in, and I go with him, and this dude's like, okay, you're going to go in and see it? You have the cards? He was like, yeah, do you have the cards? He was like, yeah, it's right back there. I was like, I'm going to just wait here. And he comes back out, and he shows me the picture, and there they are. I was like, that's awesome.
Wow.
That was awesome.
And then by the time we were done in the evening, we were just kind of eating ice cream, hanging out, and all of a sudden there's another shootout.
There's another
reenactment just suddenly happening off to the side. We weren't even ready for it. We just sitting around having coffee, ice cream, and then we just hear this commotion, and we're like, there's people shooting each other in the street.
Yeah, it's just like full-on, not impulsive, like an impromptu theater
It was a trial of Jack McCall.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that was
fun. For shooting Wild Bill Hickok, you know, they caught him.
Yep.
And then going to his cemetery, going to the grave. Well, not his cemetery, but the cemetery where he was buried.
Yeah, where he's buried.
Yeah.
We also saw Calamity Jane. Mm-hmm. You know, she's buried right next to him. So we saw that, as well as some other, you know, famous names through the history of that time period, that gold rush sort of 1870s period.
I don't want to be a whistleblower here, but I heard And I might have been witness to some rule breaking going on
at
the cemetery. And when I say witness to, I mean your wife absolutely just raising Cain.
And for no reason.
For no reason.
So there's a path, there's like a sidewalk path, and then there is a path for strollers or wheelchairs or whatever. So I'm on this path, and it's very hard to get a picture. I don't know who designed Wild Bill Hickok's grave statues, like facing that way.
It's really awkward.
Get over there.
It's hard to get in there.
You need to be on this side so you can at least take his picture. So it's like, you know, you got to do this number. So I'm like, oh, wait. All you got to do is get on the path for wheelchairs and stuff, and you can just walk up there, and then you're actually in front of the grave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I go under the rail to get on that path, and she's like, oh, my goodness. And then I walk up there, and I come down. She's like, oh, my
just drawing all sorts of attention. Like, yeah, when you're in a cemetery, you're in this place, but you're like, this is once in a lifetime. I might not ever come back here.
Right.
I'm just going to go get the picture.
Oh,
and
my
and then
word.
Nicole's like in the rain. We're doing this thing. She's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And then I look over and he's like, honey, why would you do? Why?
Why?
For no reason.
Why?
I am here, but there's a path. This is why you can there or here. She's like, well...
It was just awesome, and I'm loving this like Western theme that our staff retreats have been taking, because on the last one we went and saw was it Doc Holliday's grave?
We saw in Glenwood Springs,
and then coming here and seeing Wild Bill Hickok.
That's right.
That was really cool.
It's so fun to get to experience these things, you know, stuff that we would not otherwise see. I mean, South Dakota is not a hop, skip, and a jump away from where
we
live.
It's not.
But we have the opportunity to go and have these experiences and have these experiences together as a team with our families. I mean, it's just such a blessing. Thank you for the opportunity to do stuff like this. I mean, this is once in a lifetime.
And I'm grateful for our church family, because our finance committee, our church family, you know, they know this is something we need to get away with our families in a different setting, away from home. I mean, you know, we do go to the beach as well as a church team, and we will do that again this summer. And that's more of a relaxing thing. That's not, we're not going here to see that and that. It's just whatever you want to do. But here is like out of our comfort zone in a whole different setting. But it has a purpose behind it. It is to see certain iconic places or people, you know, their maybe cemetery or a shootout, or this person lived here, and it broadens our horizon.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It helps us appreciate the great country in which we live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a history that is being either rewritten or is being forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like at least these 22 people will not be forgetting Wild Bill Hickok anytime soon.
Right.
And I think the reason that we are able to
do Calamity Jane.
That's right. That's right. And the reason we're able to do this with such freedom is because you've built up a repertoire of trust where you were talking about the finance committee and the leaders in the church. They trust you because they see every single trip that you've gone on, whether it be to Israel back in 2015, Greece in 2016, and there's so many examples. You always are bringing something back that benefits the church, whether it's videos or knowledge or sermon topics or something. Every experience that you have, we get to experience. On the leadership team as well, on the staff, but then the congregation, through your videos and through all the writings that you bring back and the experiences you have, we benefit from that knowledge.
Right.
And so it builds up that trust, I think.
I mean, I've heard that said a long time ago, but I've used it to you guys and others. Isn't it? You'll never rise above the people you meet, the places you go, and the books you read.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
People you meet, okay? We can do the best we can to meet new people, whether in our community or beyond, or celebrities or people who are making a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Books you read, of course you can buy them, go to the library, whatever. But then places you go, that's the hardest one because that requires money, that requires knowledge, that requires time away from home and work and whatever. So it's a big commitment.
Mm-hmm.
But we go and do that not only for ourselves, but also to bring it back to people in church who otherwise may not get to go.
That's right.
You know, so they get to see Israel, Greece, Turkey, Egypt, all these places, but also very soon they're going to get to see Mount Rushmore.
I was about to bring up Mount Rushmore, but before I do, I kind of wanted to speak to what you're talking about, because I can say that as someone who didn't value travel. Mm. It's not that I disliked it or had anything against travel or people who travel. It's just having never done it, it was like, yeah, that's fine. Cool, go do it.
Yeah, you don't really see the importance of it until you've actually done it yourself.
Yeah, and it sounds, for people who don't travel, it almost sounds, not pretentious, but it almost sounds like not, it's very difficult to explain to someone that it's not only fun to travel, it's critical.
Yeah.
It's good to do it, and mm-hmm. it will benefit you. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see it just because I had never done it. And then I remember Israel was the first one.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, I'm starting to get it. And then after Israel, went to Israel again, and then Arizona, and then Colorado, and now South Dakota. And the more that I'm doing it, I'm starting to be into things that I wasn't before. I'm starting to be into taking family pictures. I'm into going into the gift shop and buying stuff and getting coffee mugs and bringing it back and reminding myself, this is where we went as a team.
Yeah, I've been there.
And it's helpful for me because it's personal growth that it was something that I didn't value that now has value. And to me, I think that's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
Some of my heroes, you know, they, or people, not even my heroes, but people who made a big difference in some aspects, some area, they were always travelers.
Mm.
And I'll be the first to admit, I hate traveling.
Really? Really?
Yeah. The act of traveling.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy it. It's a lot of work because it's strenuous. You got to pull your luggage and go through the gates and pretty much undressed.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're checked
have
all
people
over.
Yelling at you. Yeah, it's directing you.
It's like, here, sir.
Ma'am, right. That's not where that goes, ma'am.
What aggravates me the most is like, sometimes I can just pass through. Then you have somebody who's like 80 years old and they're patting her down.
I'm like, it's like throwing her to the ground.
Me, how about Mom, me? Really?
Why don't you check me? I may look like a bad guy, but I don't think she has anything on her. Just let her go. And they're like checking her
like,
everywhere.
Oh, she,
Grandma Ruth is not probably not a person of interest.
We found half a Hot Pocket in there to search her.
No, she took some biscuits from the last restaurant.
Biscuit in the purse. Classic meemaw move.
That's a meemaw move.
I mean, it's sad. I mean, you know, yeah, the profiling part is not fun, but hey, that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, many times I see people getting pulled because we go by numbers or this every third person, whatever is great. So I don't enjoy the act of traveling, but once you get there, you go, oh, this is why we're here.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
Like yesterday, we were at the Tatanka Museum of, it's a museum dedicated to the bison. You know, the bison, they say, nobody really knows for sure, but at the beginning of the 1800s, there were as many as 24 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
24 million. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of the 1800s, 1900s, they were like less than 1,000.
I saw they had it on the wall. Did you see on the wall as they were leaving?
The skeletons?
There was literally, I'm not kidding, not a hill, but a mountain of skulls.
Yep.
Mountain of skulls with, I mean, maybe I can find the picture. I'll drop it in the podcast right here.
That scale of numbers, though, is just mind-blowing, but it shows how critical the bison was to what people were doing and how critical it was to the Native American population. But even that, just like hunting them to the point of near extinction.
Well, it helps me because we talk so much as Christians, and I think especially as like conservative Christians, we talk about standing up for our country and believing in our country, but I mean, travel your country, learn about it, learn about its past, learn what it's been through, you know, learn about the native wildlife.
What was exciting for me was to watch your kids.
Yeah.
I mean, your kids, your one kid.
My one
kid. The other
kid,
one is not ready yet.
Not ready. Yeah.
So, you know, the thing is you're making memories with your families.
Yeah.
You're making memories with our church staff because you're outside our regular surroundings.
That's right.
This is not about church. It's not ministry about, hey, who's here? Oh, so-and-so is sick. Which by the way, we're still giving care.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We still send out emails. We're still sending out flowers and all that to people who are hurting or sick or in hospital. But we're in a completely different setting. Mm-hmm. So we get to, we are shaken up in a good way, right? So
absolutely shaken out of that. It allows you to experience those things. It brings you a freshness of perspective and being able to experience it together. I mean, that's a bond that can't be broken. We will always have that shared experience together, not just with our family units, but together as a team.
And then watching your little one the tiny one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody's there to help them.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, I never have to worry because we do, when we go places, we also do filming. And so we've got some film. Now, it's much lighter on the staff retreats. We still just kind of film for fun. But it's fun. It's helpful for me to be able to think about the camera, think about the script, think about what we're doing. And I don't even have to worry. Like, does someone have the baby? Like, of course someone has the baby. Mm-hmm. And he's being passed around because it's like, hey, I've already taken this picture. You go. I'll hold the baby. Go take your picture. And when I get done, I want to go take my picture, I'll give them to someone else.
Right.
And there's just a trust and a real, real sense of family. Mm-hmm. And it helps. And it makes everything feel free.
Absolutely.
It makes everything feel free.
We're crossing streets. Everyone makes sure they have a kid's hand. People are carrying the stroller down, you know, up and down staircase. I mean, it really is that feeling of family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went right up to the edge of Mount Rushmore. I mean, we were, you can see it from this lookout point,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then there's a way you can hike and get up to where, I mean, you're like literally looking up
right there.
They're right over you. And it was a lot of stairs. And some of our guys, mm-hmm. like Nicholas and Thomas and mm-hmm. Katie, they were picking up
the stroller.
And yep. David was helping with the babies, yep. you know, with Gavin. I mean, just wonderful feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mount Rushmore was so far, because there's still some more staff retreat to go as far as this recording goes.
Yeah.
But so far, Mount Rushmore has been the not even much my favorite, just the most impactful for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was sort of like the Grand Canyon when we went. It was something that I'd seen in pictures my whole life.
Right.
But then you get there and it's like, I don't know why anyone bothers taking pictures of this. It does not.
You can't.
It does not do justice.
You can't capture it.
And then even when we filmed a little bit at Mount Rushmore, which was surprisingly easy to do. Like that was really fun. And because I thought it was going to be like just a
crazy mess of people everywhere.
It really wasn't.
And there are people there, don't get me wrong, but it's not like, these are people who care about history. They care about being there. So it makes a difference.
It does.
Not like a just push and shove.
Yeah.
No. But then I was like looking at the footage in the van, and even our footage, it really can't capture the majesty of what you're actually seeing.
You
like
can't.
Seeing it in person. And I think that's one of the things that I've learned is going to these places and seeing it in person, I can never, ever, ever get that
right
from a picture or a video or a book.
Well, and that's the piece that goes back to what you were talking about, Dr. Shaw, is that you can't rise above the places you travel, the people you meet, and the books you read, because that seeing it in person, that experiencing it in person, that's what expands your capacity as a leader. That's what expands your understanding, your mind, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. That's where you grow, is actually experiencing it, not just seeing it on a screen.
That's right. That's right.
And as far as like the biblical sites, it also gives you that extra level of credibility where, being a New Testament scholar, you're talking about these places and like the places in the Bible and the people who lived there and their experiences and the context that they wrote these manuscripts in. Mm-hmm. You know, people can always say, well, you know, that we don't know. We can't possibly know. Now you can say, I've been there.
Right.
I do know. I've been to Jaffa. I've seen the streets that Jonah himself walked on. Everything that the Bible says about the layout of this city is true because I've seen it with my own eyes.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we go. And I encourage people, you know, go with us. I'm taking a tour to Greece very soon. And then take another one to Egypt coming up next year, Israel also next year. So a lot of opportunities there for those who want to go.
One thing that I do want to ask before we sign off, and that is the pizza. I felt like I caught a lot of flack on the plane.
Rightly so. I mean, that was maybe a crime.
We talked about it. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit in the intro. Dr. Shaw, I just need to know, because all these other jokers, I don't really care if they were offended, but could you smell the pizza from where you were sitting on the plane?
I did.
Oh, no,
and
please.
And I was not sure what that was.
Yeah, the pilot smelled it.
They unlocked the padlock door for the plane.
We're going to get to the airport again, and somehow we'll wind up on the no-fly list.
Not letting me on.
So, moral of the story, airline pizza does not make it on the actual airline.
No. No,
it doesn't.
But maybe the grandeur of Mount Rushmore has sort of erased that from living memory. Hopefully.
We can only hope.
We can only hope. There's still a little bit more staff retreat to go.
That's right.
I guess we'll update you guys on tomorrow's show.
We'll let you know. Like you said, we're going to continue the conversation again tomorrow. But if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. You can also email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com, and you can partner with us financially on that same website. Every gift that you give goes to expanding the reach of Clearview Today and impacting the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.